Hello and welcome back to the Dynasty Crossroads. My name's Peter Howard at PA Howdy on Twitter and Threads and everywhere else you need an at, including Patreon, I guess. It's still PA Howdy there. Today we're going to talk about hit rates because that's one of the most common questions I get this time of year, and no one else responded to my "What should I talk about?" tweet. It's actually a really interesting part of my process at this point. It's interesting. The other day I was mentioned as one of the spreadsheet followers or follows to have, and I get that, but I've always thought about myself as someone trying to find a way to play Dynasty, so I don't know. It's not that I didn't like the shout out, but that's not how I think about myself. Hit rates are flawed and terrible, but in some ways my frustration with them has ended up being the core part of how I play Dynasty now. So we're going to talk about hit rates, what they are, what they do, and how I have changed how I view them, adjusted them to actually be useful for a core of a Dynasty process, because they don't typically shift with what's likely to happen at any given time in the NFL. The history part of my process is looking at what typically happens in each situation. In terms of hit rates, that's what position group is due, if you like, for hits or talent to emerge rather than not emerge. And while it might sound strange, it does seem to happen on a cyclical pattern. And it does make sense when you think about the changing nature of the offense versus the defense at the NFL level, and how each is always trying to out-scheme the other, and so there should be similar ups and downs and certain trends as that back and forth takes place. But I'm going to try and make that clearer. Today we're just going to look at the overall hit rates, break them down by different parts of the round, and at least one interesting observation from that, and then look a little bit more closely at this class and where those hit rates apply for the 2024 rookies before moving on into some of the more, I hope, better ways of viewing hit rate type thinking in following podcasts. But let's get into it. Let's talk about the hit rates for rookies entering the NFL based on NFL draft round and draft pick.
Do you have the time to listen to me grind? Take down the film watchers and nerds all at once. I'm one of those skeptical of status quo, lazier to the bone, no doubt about it. Sometimes I grind my Excel sheets, sometimes pour cold water on heat. When the math's not adding up, you said I'm checking out. I'm welcome to the grind.
So by their nature, talking about hit rates is going to require me to mention numbers, and you know I like to try and limit the amount of numbers I'm mentioning on an audio medium where I'm just reading them at you, because I don't think you're all sitting there with a pad and paper and getting ready to write them down. If you want to see the table I'm specifically going to refer to, the visual aspect of it, you can actually see it. I reposted a hit rate table tab in my college database, the free one with all my college data in it, and that's got the one I'm going to refer to mostly in there, so you can go and actually look at the numbers instead of just hearing them. But if you want a slightly better hit rate table, and this isn't, it's not better because it's behind the really tall dollar paywall, it's because I can do a little bit more with my college database, with my NFL database, and you can see that broken down by multiple levels of hit and actually filter through different positions instead of just one definition of hit, so I don't have to read constantly different numbers at you and require that you go and look at that table in order to enjoy this podcast episode. So the one we're going to look at is just the number of players who had a top 12 season when drafted in a certain draft round or in a certain pick range between 2008 and now, 2023. Now, one of the ways that my NFL database is a little better is that I actually have that table limited to only counting players that were drafted between whatever date range you choose, but you can limit recent classes because most players break out through their first 3 years. So looking at the 22 and 23 draft class is influencing the overall percentages and yet isn't actually accounting for all the breakouts in those classes because some of them are going to break out over the next year or the next 2 years. And so they shouldn't really be included. So again, the NFL database is a little more sophisticated because you can adjust the date range to exclude some of those. But it also highlights one of the features of hit rates in that you shouldn't take the percentage as read. Like 1 in 3, 1 in 6, 1 in 4 chance is okay to have in your head, or a 60% chance or a 30% chance. But you shouldn't get addicted, as it were, to the actual number. It's not like 30% of these players in this draft class are going to hit from this position from this round. That's specifically one of the main flaws with hit rate table thinking. I mean, they're useful, they're interesting, it can garner some context to how likely a player is to get opportunity at the NFL, or how valuable NFL might consider a pick at spending on a player, in other words. But again, class by class, if I say 50% of running backs hit in the second round, that's not an actual number, but say I did, that doesn't mean you can go to this draft class and say, okay, so I got to choose half of these guys, because this might be 2017, where close to 90% of running backs drafted through the first two rounds hit, or it could be any other year where closer to 20% of running backs hit through a certain pick range. Class by class, these hit rates are going to be entirely useless when looking at an individual player, but it does provide some context to their draft capital, and that's a way to think about them. But we're going to do the off-the-top sheet numbers for this episode before getting a little bit more complex with it. And hopefully finding some more actionable information. And I will apply these percentages to this year's class. Like, what percentage chance does Blake Crum have of having a top 12 or top 36 season based on where he's drafted? I'll get there, because I realize saying the numbers out loud isn't good enough sometimes. I have to apply it to the names that you're interested in your rookie draft. So we're going to do that before I leave here today as well. But just so you know, these percentages don't directly apply to individual cases so much as it is providing context for the value that the NFL may consider it is spent on these players in this draft class. Alright, rambling done. Now, if you look from a round-by-round basis, so the first round of the NFL, there have been 48 quarterbacks drafted in the first round of the NFL draft since 2008. 56% of them have gone on to have a top 12 season. In the second round, 33% have gone on to have a top 12 season. That's since 2008 all the way to, well, 2023. So Stroud is included in that, for example. Now, the drop-off is significant, but the second round 33% hits actually sounds a lot more positive than it should. Only 15 quarterbacks have been drafted in the second round. 33% of them equals 5 players. Thereabouts, and 5 players over the span of 11 years isn't actually great. We can't expect that to happen every year. However, 56% of quarterbacks being drafted in the first round having a top 12 season out of a 48 sample in that time frame is a lot more positive. But we do see a complete drop off after that point. We do have some positive hits in the third round and the fourth round and even in the seventh round, but that's because of historical outliers like Dak Prescott and Tom Brady that you already know about. Tom Brady actually isn't included in this sample since 2008. But it's the famous one, so we'll include it. Russell Wilson will also be wrapped up in those lower round hits, as well as some other quarterbacks that only had one season. Pretty much it's only the first round that matters for quarterback, but as we'll see, it's very specifically the first 16 or the first 10 picks. At running back for top 12 seasons, 29 players have been drafted in the first round at running back since 2008. 69% of them have gone on to have a top 12 season, which you might notice is more significant than the quarterback stat, just you're looking at round one. Round one draft capital rarely, relatively, gets spent on running backs, especially lately, and if they're drafted in the first round, they're above average bets to have at least one top 12 season. Which is, you know, how you end up with a lot of Rashad Penny shares like myself. 35% of running backs out of a 39 sample drafted in the second round. 35% of them have gone on to have a top 12 season. 25% of running backs in the third round have gone on to have a top 12 season. And that's out of the same sample number, 39. It drops off in the fourth round to 13%. Then 9% in the fifth round. 3% in the 6th round, and 3% in the 7th round. Running back is one of the most consistent when looking on a round-by-round basis for finding hits. And the deeper you go, the more outside the likely range of draft capital, round 1 to 3 for running back, wide receiver, and tight end, the more likely you are to find that running back has the edge. If you look at overall percentages of seasons, which are actually fantasy relevant, which is a stat I like to refer to a lot when talking about the value of undrafted or later drafted players, about a third of all fantasy relevant seasons in any date range, it's pretty consistent, come from players drafted outside the third round. Now, many of those seasons are accounted by you know, the same player. It's Adam Thielen having multiple seasons. It's Austin Eckler having multiple seasons. But it does show that later round players do have significant, or put up significant percentage, a significant percentage of fantasy relevant seasons. However, running back always leads the charge in that percentage. Of that 30%, the large majority of them are running backs. Now, also, the large majority of running backs who do that are going to have fewer seasons of relevance, by and large, because they, as Zach Reed and the Dynasty Dummies like to say, they're an elevator. They elevate into the position because of the availability of the role, because of injury or someone leaving to start a Lilo farm in Fiji, and immediately get opportunity. And if they have enough talent to fill the volume that's available, they can often break out into the top 12 or top 24, and therefore be a hit, and yet progressively be less useful as teams move on or replace them in the draft or sign someone else. All of that's more likely to happen at running back. So running back is much more likely to hit with lesser draft capital, and it's more consistently hitting through the rounds. Again, 69%, 35%, 25%, 13%, 9%. It's a fairly solid and steady drop-off, whereas as most positions, it drops off a cliff at a certain point and a fairly significant point. At wide receiver, again for top 12 seasons since 2008, only 36% of wide receivers drafted in the first round, the lowest percentage so far, reading today, have actually had a top 12 season. But that's out of 61 players drafted in the first round. More wide receivers tend to get drafted in the first round by and large, but much fewer of them hit. Again, only 36%, so a 1 in 3 chance, or a 2 out of 5, or a 3 out of 10, depending on how you like to say that to yourself. In the second round, about 20% of them hit. In the third round, about 15% of them hit. And then we hit the cliff at wide receiver that running back doesn't quite hit as hard, and it drops to 1%, followed by 6%, 4%, and 2%. Now, where we're looking at a very large sample or a significant year, number of years since 2008, some of those numbers are exaggerated. But I do think that's a consistent trend, that teams tend to be spending those mid-draft round picks on players that might be more NFL useful, or have the wide receiver designation, which we always have to remember is fictional for the purposes mostly of fantasy football. They're just players who play certain roles. But anyway, wide receivers tend to get picked at the late second and in the third round for special teams usages or other NFL-type roles that aren't necessarily fantasy viable. I honestly think that's part of why we see the significant drop-off, and then the later round hits tend to be later rounds. So instead of the fourth round or the late third, you see fifth, sixth, and seventh round picks overall over a significant time frame having a slightly, though significantly muted, chance to hit for a fantasy top 12 season, because that might be where the NFL is taking some shots at players they think might have more potential, but aren't worth a top 2 round pick. Now, the third round pick is kind of debatable. I think it's scale based on where in the round they're drafted, but we'll talk about that in a moment. At tight ends, and remember, we're just looking at top 12 seasons here, so a top 12 season is fairly insignificant for a tight end, but it's not insignificant. And, you know, what else, what other category am I going to use to keep it consistent between the positions? I use a top 12 season for this one. 92% of tight ends drafted in the first round have a top 12 season eventually. Again, my NFL database has where you can limit by career year, which is really significant, especially when you think about tight ends and quarterbacks and running backs and wide receivers. But tight ends specifically, you've got David Njoku and even Cole Kmet, I think, hitting a top 12 season well outside the range where their value hasn't taken a significant dip after your rookie draft, which is really why we're interested in hit rate tables. If it happens after, especially after the first 3 years, but really after the first one or two, I'm not sure we're considering it an actual dynasty rookie draft hit. Personally, I take L's on players if they don't hit within the first year or the first 2 years, because you just have to hold the hot potato and hope at that point, and they largely become roster cloggers, and that to me isn't hitting in a rookie draft. And so even those that have hit, I, in my notes, I'll go back and assess my process. I consider them losses if they didn't elevate well enough early enough. But regardless, 92% of only 13 tight ends drafted in the first round, so relatively few of any position are being, is tight end in the first round, only 13 players, but 92% of them did eventually have at least one top 12 season. 53% in the second round, and that's out of 26 taken, again, probably the smallest sample of any except for quarterback, and you have a 50% shot, essentially, of having them a top 12 season. In the third round, it's 23%. In the fourth round, it's 20%. This is the only position that is more consistent and a slower drop-off with higher percentages after the first round than running back. You notice it has a higher hit rate for tight end in the first round. It has the highest hit rate, but it's higher than running back. In the second round, it's higher than running back and every other position. It actually has the highest hit rate of any group until you get to the third round, and then running back slightly edges it out, but it's about equal, and then tight end again wins in the fourth round. It's also much more, it's much less of a drop-off. It's actually more significant drop-off to go from 90% to 50% to 20% and then 20% again, but going from 90 to 50 to 20 to 20 seems smoother decline than, say, wide receiver going from 30% to 20% to 15%. You're looking at a very small sample, very small part of the sample that's actually succeeding at wide receiver or running back the deeper you go. 25% of running backs hitting in the third round is pretty good compared to quarterback and wide receiver. But that's what tight end is hitting at in the third round. It's also hitting at that rate in the fourth round. So contextually, tight end is probably the smoothest, less likely to fall off a cliff when just looking at their draft capital. And it's one of the reasons they're consistently, I think, one of the values in rookie drafts still, and even in the NFL, because they have a longer career length, like quarterback, frankly, have a longer breakout arc, so you can hold out a little bit more roster clogging hope for them in general, with a solid expectation that they could, or be, they are more likely to actually do something for you in fantasy. And that's true deeper down the draft rounds as well. Now, one of the questions I got not so long ago, because actually I must have, because I added it to the hit rate table in the college database, which again, I've re-uploaded. Sometimes Google Sheets doesn't let me upload all the tabs I want to upload just because of file size. But then if I go back in and add it manually, it allows it. I don't know what that's about, but that's why it wasn't in until this week. But I added that tab back in. Is to break down rounds based on draft pick. Now, I want to do this consistently through rounds, which isn't always the best way of doing it. So what I actually have above everything else is like hit rate by literal draft pick, which is a little ridiculous when you think about it, because like exact draft pick, there have been three wide receivers drafted at the fourth overall pick since 2008. Looking at a hit rate on a sample of three is fairly ridiculous, but I wanted to show how it broke down over the entire draft so that maybe you could highlight how pick ranges work better than just looking at buckets, because that's what I'm going to have to do to make a nice hit rate table, or want a hit rate table that actually makes some sort of sense to create a better sample size. So what I did is broke each round down in two, essentially. So in the first round, I just looked at the first 16 picks, and then I looked at picks 17 to 32. In the second round, I looked at pick 48, 32 to 48, and then pick 48 to 64. So you see, I'm just splitting the round in two. Even that actually has some, at least one, I think, interesting observation to make, however, so I want to include it. And it was an interesting question, thanks to whoever asked. In the first round, at quarterback, there is a significant disparity being drafted in the first 16 picks compared to the first 32, or the second half of the first round specifically. Remember, 56% of players hit from the first round overall for a top 12 season, but 60% hit, so a higher percentage hit if drafted in the first 16 picks, and only 40% hit if drafted outside the top 16 picks, which is only out of 10 players, so 4 out of 10 players since 2008. Again, we shouldn't expect it to happen every year. We actually shouldn't expect it to happen every other year when just using these hit rate percentages to create expectations. Essentially, it's 1 every 3 years or so drafted between pick 16 and 20 and 32 will actually have a top 12 season. It's a rare event. Whereas being selected in the first 16 picks, that's 38 players being drafted at quarterback, and 60%, 6 out of 10, 4 out of 5, if you really want to push it, are having a top 12 season. Or 3 out of 5 are having a top 12 season if they're selected in the first 16 picks. And with quarterback specifically, it's very pick dependent. So if you go and look at the actual draft picks themselves, being drafted in the first 12 picks is actually much more significant than being drafted in the first 16. And being selected in the first 7 picks is a lot more significant than being selected in the first 12. It's highly draft pick dependent. At running back, being selected in the first round, in the first 16 picks, 92% of players hit. Again, that's above the overall draft round, which was hitting at the second highest rate at 69% if just looking at draft round. But if they're selected in the first 16 picks, 92% of them are hitting, and that's out of four, and the sample is basically split between the top half and the bottom half of the first round, which I found interesting. And yet there's a strong disparity between 92% hitting in the first 16 picks and only 46% hitting in the second half of the first round. And again, that sample is fairly easy, even between 14 and 15 players at the start and the end of the second round. I find that interesting because there's a significant drop-off at running back inside the first round, and yet teams are still obviously spending draft capital towards the end of the first round at the same rate because the same number of players have been drafted in that time period. Now, 2008 to now is a bit of a large sample for running back because we have seen some changes at the running back position more recently, say between 2010, 2011, and now, but I still think it's fairly relevant. Teams are essentially wasting draft capital in the second half of the first round, despite a significant drop-off of hits for fantasy purposes, but I think that equates to NFL hits as well. For the running back position in the first round, you want yards, you want touchdowns from that pick, and yet they're still spending them. What I think is going on here is different draft classes having lower level running back talent, or at least perceived by the NFL to be lower level running back talent, so they're taking later shots on running back, but perhaps aren't as enthused, that's why they're being taken in the later round, by the player they're taking. It's just a lack of talent at the position, so they're taking higher shots relatively on players at certain positions than they would if they were from another draft class. I honestly think that's what's going on. Like a Rashad Penny pick might not have been drafted in the late first round, but even by the Seahawks, if it had been another draft class kind of a thing. A wide receiver in the first round in the first 16 picks, it's actually fairly even. Whether you're drafted in the first 16 picks or the pick 17 to 32 has about the same hit rate. About a third of them hit. So the same hit rate as the role in general. Now that doesn't help you when you're taking N'Keal Harry late in the first, but again, that's another good example of how these hit rates don't apply directly to players, but it does highlight the fact that these hit rates for wide receiver are significantly lower. Only three out of 10, 1 to 2 out of 5 players are actually hitting for a top 12 season if drafted anywhere in the first round. Now again, the first 16 picks are better for wide receiver, and if you go and look at the overall pick range, then yeah, really the first 7 picks, maybe the first 12 are a little bit more significant, but honestly the hit rates in general are pretty evenly spread. First round is first round, second round is second round at the wide receiver position, which I was a little shocked by because it feels like we've had such a disparity of hits early in the first round compared to late in the first round. But looking over a large enough sample size, turns out it's pretty even. First round is the same as anywhere in the first round, second round is pretty much the same as anywhere in the second round at the wide receiver position. Anyway, tight end is the same story as wide receiver, but with higher hit rates. Again, there's only 13 drafted. Only 3 have been drafted in the first 16 picks. All of them have had a top 12 season. Only 10 of them have been drafted between picks 17 and 32. 90% of them have had a top 12 season. So the first round is pretty much the first round for a tight end. Anywhere you're selected there, you're pretty likely to at least eventually have a top 12 season, although a top 12 season can be slightly disappointing. Again, keeping it in mind for the reality of fantasy, that could be Travis Kelce, who wasn't selected in the first round, or it could be Cole Kmet or David Njoku 4 years in. Again, there's a wide variety of how successful or how hit-like that level of hit is for fantasy at the tight end position, but applying consistent boundaries and all that. Now, the observation that I think is interesting by breaking down the draft rounds this way actually comes in the second round. The first part of the second round, the hit rates are a lot more consistently like the first round than in the second half of the second round. So in other words, if you're drafted between pick 32 and 48 in the NFL draft, you're pretty much looking at the same hit rate as if they were drafted in the first round. Whereas if you were drafted in the late second round, pick 48 to 64, the hit rates drop off a cliff. So as a reminder, in the second round, quarterback hits at about 33%, running back hits about 35%, wide receiver hits at about 20%, and tight end hits at about 53% in the second round. But looking by bifurcating the second round, as it were, all of those hits, the vast majority of those hits, are happening in the first half of the second round. At quarterback, 57% of players drafted between pick 32 and 48 had a top 12 season, whereas only 12% drafted 48 to 64 had a top 12 season. At running back, 50% had a top 12 season if drafted between in the first start of the second round between pick 32 and 48, whereas 26%, so half the number of hits, happened between pick 48 and 64. And that's despite more running backs being selected in this time frame between pick 48 and 64. At tight end, a similar disparity happens, but where the hits are a little more consistent anyway at tight end, it drops from 60% in the first half of the second round to 45% in the second half of the second round. Yeah. Words. So there is a drop-off. It is a more significant drop-off relative to the position than anywhere else, but it's still a higher hit rate than most categories. If a tight end is drafted with more draft capital, we should expect him at least eventually to be more likely to have a top 12 season, even though it's less valuable than other positions. Now, where the wide receiver position is the weird hit rate group in general, as we looked about in the first round and the overall rounds in general, with lower hits and consistent, but not as significantly consistent drop-offs, as running back and tight end, or not as positive, there is not really this bifurcation of the second round for wide receivers. Being drafted in the early second round, I don't think is any better than being drafted in the late second round. And in fact, by the numbers, since 2008, with an even sample size, 36 players drafted in the first half of the second round, and 38 players drafted in the second half of the second round. So there is no sample problem relative to this percentage, at least. It's 16% drafted in the first half of the second round hit, and 23% in the second half of the second round. I don't know what's going on there, because it makes logical sense for me for it. Because what I think is a significant observation here is I think teams think round by round. And so if they're drafting a player earlier in a round, that is more significant, almost in some ways, than being drafted in a higher round. I would rather have a running back drafted high in the second round than late in the first by the numbers, even though the hit rates are fairly consistent. Because I think the value is going to be different because of that 2 designation. And yet the hit rate is relatively the same. In fact, it's slightly higher, but within range, in the first part of the second round than the second half of the first round, if you follow this weird way of speaking. Whereas at wide receiver, it drops from 35% at the end of the first round to 16% at the top of the second round. So that doesn't follow the logic. And making a pick early on day 2 in the second round doesn't seem to show significant hit rates. I think that's partly because of the way the wide receiver position earns targets and volume and fantasy points, because the NFL can only give you so much. In other words, opportunity, and wide receivers have to hit on it. Whereas with quarterback and running back, and even tight end, because it's not a wide receiver position, it's not a receiving position, they can be being given opportunity is a path to scoring points instead of having to achieve on that opportunity. That's a little unfair because, you know, those words applied in a real world context. You know, these players have talent. They're actually taking advantage of their opportunity. But you score points by having opportunity at the other positions, whereas wide receiver having opportunity makes it more likely and is better for you to score opportunity, but doesn't mean that you will more often or more consistently, or as consistently, if that makes sense. It does in my head. So even if they like you better and they're going to give you better opportunity in the early second, there's no guarantee that's actually going to going to garner better fantasy results. I think that's also why in the first round, the top half split and the bottom half split are consistent. I think the NFL teams are drafting the players they prefer, obviously higher by a significant degree, but they're taking as many shots in the late first, and we don't see a difference in hit rate because the NFL is hitting as it hits based on its evaluation, and I don't think they're improving from the first half to the second half of the first round. It's what the player can actually do when they elevate a little bit more than at the other positions. I think that's why we can find the consistency in the first round. Despite the fact all the examples I can think of, I've really got to go back and look at this on a player basis, but it's like DK Metcalf being drafted early in the second round turns out was a lot better than N'Keal Harry being drafted late in the first. But that's allegorical. That's individual player examples being compared to what is attempting to be a larger sample over time process. And again, an example of why these hit rates shouldn't be considered directly in the context of individual players. But it is really interesting when you think about what the NFL is trying to do and what it's achieving doing. It's not hitting at a greater rate early in the first round. It's hitting at about the same rate, even though I think it's clear and it makes obvious sense they're drafting players significantly higher that they think have a significantly better chance in the first round. But they're not hitting at any greater rate. If they spend them in first round picks, about the same rate. And in the second round, it's also similar, 16% to 23%. Is it a little weird that the second half of the second round actually achieve slightly more average? The difference between 16 and 23%, it's not a whole player, even with these the most significant sample sizes between 36 and 38 players. I don't think it's a significant difference, so I'm just going to call it even, but it is slightly intriguing and worthy of maybe more investigation. But I think that's what's going on at wide receiver. Again, for the other positions, I think it's better to be drafted early on in the second round than late in the first, especially if there's value differentials there. Where outside the first 16 picks is late. It's not actually late. If I was drafted with a 20-round pick, I wouldn't consider that rate late, but those are the buckets I created. And tight end is similar, but again, you get a slightly better hit rate at tight end through the first two rounds anywhere they're selected, but those seasons are all also less significant for fantasy by and large, so it's adjusted back to what you should expect for tight end and running back in some ways in terms of what you should be willing to spend or expect for tight ends when they're drafted in rookie drafts. Anyway, in the third round, because we have so many fewer hits, the percentages get a little wild. For quarterback, it goes from 12% in the early third to 0% in the late third. For running back, it goes from 33% in the early third. Again, a better hit rate than the late second. I think if we had a good enough sample and really dug into this, I think we would find this. It's better to be drafted early in a round than late in the previous round, by and large. But anyway, 17% in the second half of the third round. Wide receiver, again, entirely consistent. The NFL is not doing better with its early third-round picks compared to its later third-round picks. Between picks 64 and 80, they're hitting at about 17% for a top 12 season. Between pick 80 and 96, they're hitting at about 17% for a top 12 season. So a third-round pick is a third-round pick, and a second-round pick is a second-round pick. For wide receiver, the overall hit rates by round are about as good as it gets. Although, again, if you're applying it to individuals and you go look at the individual pick rates, yeah, being drafted early in a round is better, but over a large enough time period using this contextual table, it evens out to be about as likely to garner a top 12 season. At tight end, it drops to 0% in the early third round and 41% in the second half of the third round. Again, the percentages get a little wild here. Only 10 players have been drafted at the tight end position between picks 64 and 80, whereas 17 players have been drafted between picks 80 and 96. So it is nice that that sample is fairly consistent. Now, it's double, actually. It's a double number of tight ends been drafted late in the third. And it might say something, like I was saying earlier, about the NFL being more likely to take players they expect could maybe have more potential to do things that we like for fantasy later in a draft at a certain point. By the time we get to the end of the third and start going to the fourth, I think the NFL is prioritizing things that we maybe don't get fantasy points for when they make selections. Or they could just be hitting at a really suboptimal rate and only hitting later because they let their freak flag fly. There could be a lot of real-world explanations. I'm not in the room. But that first logic makes more sense to me. And whatever the logic is, it's what's actually happening. So who cares? But tight ends, yeah, technically you're only going to get a hit if you're in the late third round, not in the early third round. But I don't know. Again, I'd apply that very strictly in general to a particular tight end in a particular draft class. In the third round, breaking it down by percentage just gets a little wild, but we do see some signs that the trends we see in rounds one and two are true. Anyway, those are what I thought were the interesting observations by breaking it down by these round buckets. And again, if you want to see that table, it's at the very end of the first hit rate table, and you can see the overall round percentages and players drafted, as well as the percentage of picks they represent, and the number of players we're actually working with a sample, although I think I've hidden those just to kind of try and make the tab a little neater. You can unhide them at any point to actually see the count of players in the samples. All right, to apply those type of buckets to players from this draft class, something that might actually be takeawayable, from a podcast instead of numbers that you know, don't have a notepad and pen to write down, and you don't know you really want to spend the time to go and click on a link to see. I think we can do this broadly and fairly quickly. At quarterback, you don't have a lot to help you out this year, because most of the quarterbacks that you're significantly considering taking in rookie drafts were all drafted inside those first 16 picks. So Williams, May, Daniels, McCarthy, Penix, and Bo Nix all have like an 88% chance of having at least a top 36 season. You heard me right. They will likely start at some point and finish inside. Finish. That's all you have to do to have a top 36 season. For these percentages, I actually broke it down between a top 36 season and a top 12 season, just to give you a little bit more context for the individual players. But that's also consistent when we go to a top 12 season. The percentage is slightly lower, but all of those players have about a 60% chance, 62% chance, based on their draft pick of having a top 12 season. There's not a lot to separate them because they were all drafted within the first 16 picks. Again, in general, if you would like to, you could say that Williams, Daniels, and May being drafted in the first three is more significant, and I do think this, than McCarthy and Penix and Nix, who were drafted outside the first three picks, and outside the top 10, really. McCarthy was drafted with the 10th overall, but I'll include it. If we were to bucket within the first 10, I think we would actually see a significant hit rate difference between inside the top 10 than outside the top 10, or between 10 and 20. And again, you can see that if you look at the overall pick tables at the start. And I know people have bucketed it that way, and that's roughly what they find as well. Spencer Rattler, Michael Pratt, Jordan Travis, Joe Milton, all drafted and in the database. Yeah, it's like a 1.4% chance, but for all of them. So Rattler being drafted 150th overall is no more significant than Pratt being drafted 245th overall. They're very unlikely to play a full season and even start in the NFL. There's only a 5% chance they start for a full season, or at least score enough points to rank inside the top 32 quarterbacks for fantasy, and there's a 1.4% chance one of them starts and finishes in the top 12 ever. But Tom Brady exists. Yeah, I know. But, you know, that's why hit rate tables suck. At the running back position, Brooks and Benson actually have fairly significant draft capital compared to everyone else. And notice that Brooks is a second round pick and Benson is a third round pick. Now, for either of them to finish inside the top 36, Brooks is like 80% likely to finish inside the top 36 based only on his draft capital, nothing about the player themselves. and 50% of players drafted where he was drafted in the early part of the second round have a top 12 season. Benson, 61% chance of having a top 36 season, so it is lower than Brooks being at pick 66 in round 3, but it's not, you know, it's 80 and 60%, they're both pretty positive numbers. For a top 12 season, he's at 33%, again, that's 20% less than Brooks, but it's still significantly more likely, just based on draft capital, not the player or anything about the player, to happen compared to every other pick in this draft. Now, Lloyd was also drafted in the third round, but it was at pick 88. And Karam was also drafted in the third round, but it was at pick 83, which technically puts him in a second bucket in the second round, and they have a 17% chance, just based on their draft capital, of having a top 12 season. From there, the percentages, especially for top 12 seasons, drop off in this draft class. Bucky Irving, Will Shipley, even my man Ray Davis and Braylon Allen are all staring down the barrel of a 4.5% hit rate for a top 12 season being drafted where they were in the NFL by pick when you bucket the draft rounds into an early and a late pick. And that's pretty much everyone else. And they also only have an 8.4% chance or hit rate of having a top 36 season. The only ones who have over 20% are Lloyd, Benson and Brooks. And Benson and Brooks are both significantly more likely, again, just based on their draft capital. I actually think the running backs in this draft class, because of this draft class, which we'll get into when we break this process down and how it actually fits in the way I play Dynasty, is kind of the core of it now, works. I actually think this draft class is more significant in later draft capital. We should go looking for a Devontae Freeman in this draft class. Pretty often, pretty much outside, once you run out your favorite wide receivers, which I think we should do earlier than we do. For example, Kamani Vidal, who Zach mentioned in the Dynasty Grind, is someone I've had my eye on, same as Rasheen Ali. And again, you can see all my ranks in my rank sheet to see where I'm ranking I would take their shot, though that's not necessarily exactly where I would draft them. Because I draft versus preference. I do adjust a little bit by value, unlike Zach and other rankers. It's not exactly my draft order, like most, but it's also not exactly my draft order, like most, if you know what I mean. It's to give you an idea of where I get interested in players, but you should take them the best place you think you can possibly to get the best value in your rookie drafts. But rookie drafts, I'll take value, so I will take some wild shots. I've tried to calm myself on that in terms of my ranks, but real play, yeah, I do. Anyway, moving on to the tight end position for this year, Brock Bowers is going to have a top 12 season at some point. That's what the hit rate says. It's 100% at 36 and 100% at top 12. He was drafted 13th overall. That's really high for a tight end. It's really rare draft capital. The NFL thinks what we think. It's pretty positive. Ben Sinnott is really significant as well. 53% have a top 36 season. That's not really relevant at tight end, but it means his name will come up. And being drafted 53rd overall, 46% have a top 12 season, which isn't consistently lower. So he's about as likely to have a top 12 season as have his name somewhat relevant inside the top 36. Now, interestingly enough, the one player I have no interest in drafting this position, Tip Raymond, also has similar hit rates to Ben Sinnott, who is someone I do think you should try and draft in this late second, early third of your rookie drafts if the running back I want isn't available. It's kind of my thinking on it. Tip Raymond, yeah, 47% and 41% of having a top 12 season. Well, that's the hit rate. I don't believe that at all. Again, hit rates suck. He was just drafted randomly, as far as I can tell, 82nd overall. And tell you. Cade Stover, Theo Johnson, Sanders, they all fall into a group with everyone else. They have 11% shot or hit rate of having a top 36 season, 5.3% of having a top 12 season. Again, tight ends are pretty much more consistent when they go through the draft rounds. However, most of the picks in this draft class were third and fourth round picks, plus Bell being taken in the seventh and McLaurin being taken in the sixth. I consider that as about as likely as like a Wiley being taken in the fourth, more likely because they're probably better players. Eric Orr being taken in the fourth, I think is more significant based on my player analysis. Again, the hit rates can only give us so much. They can give us nothing based on an individual player, but we're doing it anyway. Wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, Romo Dunze, Brian Thomas, Ricky Purcell, Xavier Worthy, all of these guys were drafted pretty significantly in the first round. They 40% chance, so 4 out of 10 or 3 out of 5, that's a little high, but still, have a top 12 season. Again, I recommend being highly sensitive to draft pick, but honestly, I can't dismiss, although I do in my ranks, the Leggetts and the Pearsalls and the players I weren't particularly high on pre-draft, or the Lambeconkeys, where was he? No, oh, he was a second round. Based on draft pick anymore, because being drafted in the late second round seems relatively consistent to the early first, but when it conforms to my pre-draft evaluation, I'm just going to run with it. But they all have a relatively consistent hit rate of having a top 12 season. Amnoy Mitchell is the most significant draft capital, 52nd overall, for having a top 12 season after that group. It's a 23% shot. Xavier Leggett, sorry, I forgot to mention him. He's in the 40% category. Keon Coleman, Jalen Polk, Ladd McConkey, Jermaine Burton went to Cincinnati. Those guys are all more likely to have a top 36 or 24 season than a top 12 season based on hit rates. It goes from 38% and drops to 16% just based on their draft capital when looking at a top 12 season. So they're much more likely to be relevant, but not the highest of value players in terms of the overall points in the NFL just based on where they were drafted in the NFL. Interestingly enough, Malachi Corley got significant draft capital in the NFL draft. I think, based on where he came from college, he was drafted in the third round, picked 65 overall, so it's inside the first bucket. 26% shot of having, or hit rate of having a top 36 season, 17% hit rate of having a top 12 season. So it's as significant as some of those second round players. Again, that consistency into the early third round, where it's consistent for wide receiver through all the rounds, actually makes Corley and even Jalen McMillan slightly more interesting than their overall draft round might suggest, compared to someone like Coleman, Polk, and Ladd McConkey, or even Mitchell drafted in the second round. These are not my ranks. I can't stress that enough. Outside of that, because they fell into buckets that suck, Franklin, Baker, Thrash, all with these 100-plus pick rounds or draft picks fall into a 3% and 1.7% chance of having a top 36 season or a top 12 season. Again, I highly recommend adjusting expectations based on player evaluations and an individual draft class, which is what we're going to get into, but that's what a hit rate table based on draft pick can tell us, 3% and 1.7%. That's about it. Again, if you want to see those percentages, I can post them. They're in Discord. You can use my college database to actually create them, because that's how I did create them, and I can teach you how to do that formula if you don't know, and if you're interested in being to do such formulas. I actually have a whole playlist on YouTube still about how to do the basics on the NFL, and if you combine two or three of those basics for fantasy, you get this formula. It's actually pretty simple, and all the data's in the college database. Or, yeah, I do. It's fine. Those are the hit rates, and the hit rates in general, by draft round, by bifurcating the draft rounds into early and late, and how they apply to this draft class broadly, but that we should never apply broad hit rates to individual players. Next time I make a podcast episode, I want to delve a little bit deeper into how maybe we can improve the thinking of hit rate tables and start building something that actually has predictive power or utility for playing in Dynasty more broadly than specifically. We're not going to go to individual player takes yet, but we'll get a lot more locked in to which players we should be interested in general from this draft class because of what the improvements I think I've made and I think we can make to hit rate tables in general, or the thinking or the calculation of them anyway. But for now, let's just do the basics, especially since I'm nearly 50 minutes in. Thanks for listening to The Crossroads. I hope to check you out, or I hope to see you here, or I hope you hear me here. Yeah, that one. And next time, I really appreciate it, and I will talk to you again next week.
Yeah! Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the plays, no. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Picking my nose, don't really know if I like that. Whoa. picking their brains, got different lanes, but I like that. Picking these guys, all of these times, all of these nice stats. Picking apart, the film is an art, always a fight. Back and forth, there is no order, they disorder more and more. Because the players ain't no older, they some hoarders or some mortars. Dropping bombs without no borders, stick out that I like Mordor. Peak grinding numbers like molars, I don't know anymore. I am at a crossroads. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and they on the place, no. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and they on the place, no. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical.